From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. USA Today bestselling author Colleen Oakley is back with a brand new novel, The Mostly True Story of Tanner and Louise. And it is being called wildly surprising, entertaining, a blast. The compliments go on and on about this book. And I tell you, I think it may just be the read that we all need right now. We're lucky enough to have Colleen joining us today to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So, Colleen, first, just tell us briefly about how you came up with the idea for this new novel.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a road trip book between an 84-year-old woman with a secret past and a 21-year-old college dropout that find themselves on the wrong side of the law, kind of a la Thelma and Louise, if you remember that iconic movie from the 90s. And this book idea was really inspired by my grandmother, who I myself had a very close relationship. And I really wanted to explore, you know, that intergenerational friendship in a fun way.
Mm. Okay. So Louise is 84 years old, maybe a jewelry thief, maybe not. And then we have 21-year-old Tanner. And as you said, she's a college dropout. They've been thrown together because Louise's daughter just had it, basically, after her mom has a minor little accident. She's like, you need someone to take care of you. And then here's Tanner. I mean, truly, this is like the beginning of a mismatched adventure, right? I mean, just that synopsis. I mean, so was that part of it? Was like, how can you find these two characters who, you know, from outward appearances have nothing in common, but kind of end up do having some things in common?
Yes. I love an odd couple story. I love a mismatch. You know, even like the romance tropes of enemy to lovers, where people start out hating each other and come to obviously fall in love. This is really that, but with a friendship, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And can we talk a little bit more about your own grandmother? Because as you mentioned, you know, kind of an homage to her. So tell us a little bit about your grandmother.
Yeah, she was truly one of my favorite women on earth. We had an incredibly close relationship. We used to take road trips together. We talked on the phone multiple times a week. We used to bond over our own love of books, and we would always discuss what we were reading. And about 5 years before she passed, she was diagnosed with late onset Parkinson's disease, which is a really tough condition in its own right. But when you kind of mix in the medications that doctors prescribe to deal with the symptoms, you know, it causes one to suffer from some pretty heady hallucinations and not really understand what's real and what's not. So my grandmother started to say some pretty outrageous things, like telling us that she had $10,000 worth of gambling debts in other states all of these kind of alarming stories. That because my grandmother had such a great sense of humor, she herself would have found really, really funny. And the novelist wheels in my brain just started turning. And I thought, what if my grandmother, you know, did have this other secret life that none of us knew about? And it was just starting to come out at the end of her life. And that's really when the character of Louise was born.
What do you think your grandma would think of this book?
I think she would love it. And it's truly just my, you know, she was one of my biggest fans and cheerleaders and read all of my books and shoved them into the hands of all of her friends. And it's really one of my biggest regrets that she's not here to read this book, because I think she would love it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that struck me while reading this book too is I think within our society, older women are almost deemed invisible sometimes, right? And I mean, Louise is 84. You know, you definitely kind of sense that in the book. But I mean, I think it starts even earlier than that, right? It can be in your 50s or 60s.
Sure.
It's like all of a sudden, you're this older woman. And did you think about that at all as you were writing the book or preparing to write the book? Because I think sometimes, you know, it can almost be a superpower for older women, because they are invisible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about that a lot. And it's certainly one of the themes I wanted to explore. And I used to talk about that very thing with my grandmother. It was very important to me to show an older character as a fully realized human being with her own wants and desires, and not just some stereotype of an older person that we generally mm-hmm. get in our media, if we get those characters at all. So that was really important to me. But also, to your point, because older women are sometimes deemed invisible or not seen in our society, there's a lot they can probably get away with if they wanted to.
Right. But I really do like that she's not some trope, right? She's not right. Like how I think, as you said, we tend, if at all, to see elderly women. I mean, she's such a complex character, and I really, appreciated that. And, is that kind of maybe, one of the things about writing this book is that as a reader, even maybe if you haven't had a close relationship with an elderly individual, it's like, don't write them off as frail or frankly really needing your help.
Yes, absolutely. And it would actually be my greatest joy if this book kind of has that impact on even just one reader to look at maybe their elderly neighbor differently, or a great aunt mm-hmm. that they have lost touch with. I think those relationships are so important. And these women that have come before us have been through so much in our society, and we could really learn so much from them if we would take the time to reach out.
You know what I, as I have been reading the book, I had an elderly neighbor who passed away in the last couple of years. She was 99 mm-hmm. years old.
Wonderful. 99. And, my goodness.
99. She lived alone. I mean, she had adult children who would come and see her and take care of her sometimes and spend time with her, but she insisted on living on her own. But she also always had her hair completely done. Her makeup was always done, and she loved a good gin and tonic. And I tell you, it's just to see this character that you've put on paper, it reminded me so much of my neighbor who, we just happened to be neighbors. That's why I got to know her a little bit. Right. And then I thought, gosh, there's so much I didn't get to know about her, because again, it's this idea of someone just being elderly versus who are you as a person?
Right. Exactly. I love that. And it's really the biggest compliment when people tell me that they see, their own grandmother or their own, aunt or whoever in Louise. I love being able to bring those memories back alive for people.
So let's talk a little bit about Tanner. She's 21 years old. She's a college dropout. On the flip side of older women being invisible in our society, I think we also tend to stereotype younger people, right? That it's kind of like all they care about are video games. You even say, Tanner sits around in her sweatpants and she plays video games. And then all of a sudden we put labels on younger people as being mm-hmm. lazy, as not having ambition, right? And it goes on and on. How was it like writing this character and also, I think, tackling some stereotypes?
Yeah, for sure. So Tanner really came to be just as the antithesis of Louise, right? Like Tanner is a rule follower. She's obviously very young, and she's really mm-hmm. hit an obstacle at the opening of the book and really feels like life as she knew it, or what she hoped her life was going to be, is kind of over. And she's dealing with the fallout of that. So there's a lot to work with Tanner, and she definitely had a journey of her own to go on. But for me, it really made me kind of reach back many, many years to my own, years of being late teens and early 20s. Yeah. And that time, it's just such a time period where you're really trying to figure out your place in the world. And so that's a painful growth period for some. It was for me. And that's really what Tanner's going through.
I have to say, I felt the same way reading her. It took me back to many years ago as well. And the struggles, right? I mean, I would never want to go back to that time in my
never.
Life.
Never. Never, but I because think... you don't have a lot of life experience, every single thing that happens feels like so big, right? You don't have perspective.
Right.
And it makes everything that much harder.
Mm-hmm. What are you hoping is the ultimate takeaway if someone picks up this book and reads it?
You know, the first thing truly is that I just want it to be fun. You know, life is hard right now. There's a lot of things in society that are pretty terrible that we're dealing with. And I just want it to really be a fun escape and adventure. And if they, you know, can take anything else away from it, it's just, you know, like I said, look at your elderly neighbors, look at the people around you and see if you can reach out and make those connections and relationships. I think that would be wonderful.
What's it been like for you to get such praise for this book? I mean, I just, you know, mentioned a couple of things, but I mean, you have really well-known authors who have, you know, said how good this book is. And it is, it's things like it's funny, it's surprising, it's an adventure, you know, but what's that like for you? Because I think writing can be such a solitary thing and you don't know how a book is going to be received. I mean, you might love it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be received that way.
That's so true. At the risk of sounding too pat or cliche, it is genuinely a dream come true. I've been at this novelist thing for 10 years and you just, you know, hope and pray that your writing hits a chord with somebody, and for it to have hit a chord with so many authors that I read and admire and respect has been just the greatest honor.
Well, I have to say it's a fun read. And I tell you, I agree with you that there is so much going on in our world that sometimes I need to pick up a book like this that just makes me smile. So thank you for putting pen to paper and writing this.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. We've been talking with USA Today bestselling author Colleen Oakley about her new novel, The Mostly True Story of Tanner and Louise. It's out now. Get yourself a copy of it. Again, Colleen, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast White Lies.